This is the Aspen Public Radio Newscast. I'm your host, Megan Tackett. Here with your top stories this Monday. The Bureau of Land Management has proposed leasing land on the Rhone Plateau for the first time since 2014. Aspen Public Radio's Michael Finelli reports that an agreement made that year has protected most of the landscape from oil and gas development.
The Rhone Plateau is a rock formation that towers thousands of feet above the Colorado River Valley. Home to rare plants and animals, it's a destination for outdoor enthusiasts, but it's also thought to have large natural gas deposits. A 2014 agreement has protected the majority of the area from development, but two active leases at the time were allowed to stay in place. Now, the BLM is proposing putting those leases back up for auction in December. Julie Slivka works with the advocacy group Wilderness Workshop. It was part of the lawsuit that led to the 2014 protections.
We think some places are just too special to drill, even if they have resources, and an oil company could make a profit off of them. That doesn't necessarily mean they should be destroyed.
The proposals are currently open for public comment, but Slivka says the BLM may feel obliged to offer the land up due to a Trump administration directive to prioritize oil and gas drilling over other values. For Aspen Public Radio, I'm Michael Finelli.
Residents at the Cavern Springs Mobile Home Park near Glenwood submitted an offer last week to buy the land under their homes. As Eleanor Bennett reports, they were able to meet the deadline with a last-minute contribution from the Colorado Health Foundation.
Under state law, Cavern Springs residents had until the end of last week to submit an offer. Another bidder is competing to buy the park for $23 million. Residents have raised nearly half of that and still have about $1.9 million left to go to secure an affordable loan. They also need to budget extra money to fix aging infrastructure at the park. Liliana Cereceres is a teacher in Glenwood. She's one of over 300 residents who live at Cavern Springs.
Como personas trabajadoras del valle, no tenemos la posibilidad como de que cada quien aporte un millón.
As working people in the valley, she says they don't have the means for everyone to pitch in $1 million. That's why they've asked the Colorado Health Foundation, local governments, and private donors for help. Cavern Springs would be the fourth park in the Roaring Fork Valley over the past year to transition to resident ownership. This comes as more investors are buying up these properties, which could raise the risk of rent hikes and redevelopment. For Aspen Public Radio and Aspen Journalism, I'm Eleanor Bennett.
Colorado Parks and Wildlife killed a wolf in Rio Blanco County on Friday. The wolf was formerly part of Picken County's Copper Creek Pack, but hasn't been with the pack in nearly 2 years. CBW said in a press release that the wolf had been attacking sheep since last summer and as recently as last week. CBW said the owners of those sheep had made, quote, substantial efforts to deter the wolf non-lethally. Those efforts included deploying range riders and using guardian dogs and scare devices. Governor Jared Polis said in the release that Colorado remains committed to recovering a self-sustaining wolf population. In statewide news, June 1st marks the start of summer and Colorado's ozone season. The dangerous lung irritant forms in the atmosphere on hot, sunny days. Kirsten Schatz is an air quality advocate for the Colorado Public Interest Research Group. During a press conference, she urged Front Range residents to protect themselves this summer.
I hate to say it, especially as the parent of two young kids, but from noon till about 8 p.m., those are the hours when ozone pollution tends to peak. Stay inside if you can.
Another tip? Sign up for ozone alerts at simplestepsbetterair.org. And in regional news, 2 months ago, Utah Republican Mike Lee tried to use an obscure law to get Congress to throw out the resource management plan for the Grand Staircase Escalante National Monument. But now, he's run out of time to get a simple majority in Congress. Rocky Mountain Community Radio's Caroline Yanis has more.
The Congressional Review Act allows for a simple majority in Congress to overturn an agency rule. In this case, the rule is the guiding document for recreation, grazing, and cultural sites for six tribes on the nearly 2 million acres that make up the Southern Utah Monument. But that vote would have had to take place within 60 days of Lee introducing his resolution, a deadline that passed last week, meaning he'd now need 60 votes to scrap the plan. Scott Braden, with the Southern Utah Wilderness Alliance, says Grand Staircase is a beloved landscape, and the public was upset when they heard what Lee was proposing.
And they were more than happy to contact their members of Congress, and this was happening across the nation. So the reason that we stopped this and that the clock ran out was because there wasn't the political will to bring it forward for a vote.
He says Lee's attempts to roll back protections for public lands like Grand Staircase are deeply unpopular with people in the Mountain West. Caroline Yanez, Rocky Mountain Community Radio.
Mike Lee's office has not responded to a request for comment. The U.S. Forest Service has been criticized for not doing enough work to reduce the risk of catastrophic wildfires in recent years. The Mountain West News Bureau's Murphy Woodhouse reports that the agency's chief is pushing back.
Representative Jonah Goose, a Colorado Democrat, raised concerns about drops in fuels reduction projects at a U.S. House committee meeting earlier this month.
It's an important question that deserves to be answered. Why there's a 35% reduction in hazardous fuels treatments in the first year of the Trump administration.
Forest Service Chief Tom Schultz was on hand and acknowledged that there was some drop-off, but he called into question the accuracy of the 35% figure and said what was done was in keeping with years past.
So when you look at the context, in terms of a five-year average, we're right in there last year about where the five-year average was.
This year, he says the agency is well on its way toward its treatment goals. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Murphy Woodhouse.
The U.S. House of Representatives recently passed a measure that seeks to eliminate obstacles to prescribed fires and other fuels reduction projects. Here's the Mountain West News Bureau's Murphy Woodhouse again.
The Cross-Boundary Wildfire Solutions Act is fairly simple. It directs the Government Accountability Office to study obstacles to conducting wildfire mitigation projects on land with multiple owners or jurisdictions. Within 2 years, the GAO is expected to share its report and recommendations. Here's the bill's sponsor, Representative Jonah Goose, a Colorado Democrat.
And then from there, eliminate, modify, make the necessary arrangements to ensure that those obstacles no longer exist.
Goose is hopeful that the measure will make it to President Trump's desk because of the bipartisan support it enjoyed in the House, where four of its six co-sponsors are Republicans. Pointing to recent reforms like wildland firefighter pay raises, he says it's just the latest instance of cross-party collaboration on fire policy. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Murphy Woodhouse.
The Nonprofit Center for Biological Diversity is suing the federal government over protections for an aquatic animal that lives in the dry Sonoran Desert in Arizona. Gabriel Pietrazio reports for the Mountain West News Bureau.
The Kitobakito trionia is a tiny freshwater spring snail no bigger than the size of a poppy seed that can only be found inside Oregon Pipe Cactus National Monument. The Biden administration tried listing it as endangered in 2023. In the complaint, the nonprofit claims the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has failed to comply with the Endangered Species Act. 30 miles west of Kitobakito Springs is where border wall contractors recently destroyed a 1,000-year-old geoglyph. Gabriel Pietrazio, Phoenix.
The Aspen Public Radio newscast is produced by our team. News Director Hallie Zander, Associate Editor Sage Smiley, reporters Reagan Mertz, Michael Finelli, Hannah Weaver, and me, your host, Megan Tackett. Our contributing reporters include Eleanor Bennett, Sarah Torrey, and Lucy Peterson. You can listen to the show every weekday morning on our website or wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening, and see you next time.